Turn to Proverbs 7:24. He says, "Hearken unto me, now therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth." You say, well, we don't need to even cover this verse because we've covered verses just like it so many times. But actually, there's some interesting things that we can pull out of this verse that you might not have thought about just as you look at it. So he says, "Hearken unto me now, therefore." To hearken is to apply the ears to hear, to listen, give ear. So Solomon began the chapter exhorting his son to listen to his instruction and to keep his commandments. In verse 1 and 2, he says, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye." And he says, in this verse we're looking at, "Hearken unto me now, therefore." So he's telling him the same thing, to listen to what I'm telling you. And he had already told him to pay attention to the commandments, keep the law of God, and so on. He says, "Hearken unto me now, therefore." And you remember the old saying, when you see therefore, ask what it's there for. Therefore means in consequence of that. That being so, as a result or inference from what has been stated, consequently. Hearken unto me in consequence of what I've just said. Listen to me based on what I've just instructed you. So after giving him much instruction on the tactics of the strange woman and the danger of being seduced by her, he concludes the chapter by again exhorting his son to listen to him. In other words, he's doing a good method of teaching. And a good method of teaching is you tell them what you're going to tell them, and then you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. And he did this. He told his son, "Listen to my words." So he kind of told him ahead of time what's coming up. And then he gives all these reasons why, based on his own personal experience, why you want to stay away from the strange woman. Don't even go near her corner, right? Because you're going to end up being seduced. And then after he gets done, he says, "Listen up, listen to me again because of what I just said. Pay attention to me," in other words. He says, "Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children." Now, his instruction was primarily aimed at his son there in verse 1. It was not written exclusively to him, though. Remember verse 1, he says, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee." There's a difference, though, what he says there in verse 1 versus what he says in verse 24, if you'll notice that. Because in verse 24, he commands children to hearken unto him. He starts off by saying, "My son." Now he says, "Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children." And he uses "ye children" instead of "my children." You notice that? "Hearken unto me, O ye children." "You children," we'd say today. Not "my children." So he starts off specifically instructing his son, and now he's talking to children. All children. All over the place. So he's indicating that these words are for children in general. You say, well, then I don't need to listen to him because I'm not a child. Oh, yes, you are. You're all children. We all are. Adult disciples in the Bible are called children. Look at Mark 10 and verse 24. Mark 10 and verse 24. It says, "And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God?" Now here Jesus is 32, 33 years old, talking to his disciples, which are probably close to his age, maybe a little bit younger, but not, I'm sure not young enough to be his actual children, calling them children. Nothing wrong with that. Do you know why? Let's see how many of you, a little quiz. You know why Christians are called children in the Bible? Why are Christians called children in the Bible?
We were adopted by God as his children.
Oh, that's true. But you know the real reason? Because we act like them. That's why. That's why we're called children. Because we act like them.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we're called children. How many times do you act like a child? Your spouse could tell you about it, I guarantee you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But... Right. Women are not allowed to speak during a study, though, so we won't ask for any specifics. No, actually, they are, but 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 13.
I was just kidding.
No, you weren't. 2 Corinthians 6:13. It's true. It says, Paul says here, "Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged." So the people that Paul converted, he considered to be his children. Some of these people were probably older than Paul. Some of them were younger than Paul. But they were all his children because he was the one that, well, he says in another place, begat them through the gospel. He was their instructor, and that's what fathers are, as instructors of children. So every pastor is, in a sense, not in a spiritual sense, like when Jesus said not to call any man father on the earth, but in an instructional sense, pastors are fathers, no matter what their age is. Galatians 4 and verse 19. Galatians 4, 19. "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." So he calls these grown adults little children because they were as little children to him. He was teaching and instructing them, especially this church or these, it was churches in Galatia. These churches in particular were like a bunch of little kids. They'd been instructed. They'd been trained up in the way they should go. And then peer pressure enters. Some of their buddies, the Pharisees, come up from Jerusalem and talk them out of all the doctrine that Paul had taught them. And so he's going back and teaching them like little children.
Could it also be because he was being affectionate with them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
sure.
He was calling them his children.
Mm-hmm. Yep. One more, 1 John 2 and verse 28. It says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." So it makes perfect sense that Solomon said, "Hearken unto me, O ye children." And Solomon's words, as we've seen before, are God's words to God's children, because Solomon was speaking under the inspiration of God. In 2 Peter 1:21, it says that the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And Solomon was one of those prophets that spake by the Holy Ghost. So these are God's words being spoken to us as his children. And then he says, "And attend to the words of my mouth." To attend is to direct the ears, mind, energies to anything. To turn one's ear to, listen to turn the mind to, give consideration or pay heed to, regard, consider. So when you attend, you don't just simply listen. When you attend to a lecture, so you can attend a lecture and you can attend to a lecture. There's kind of two different things. When you attend a lecture, you're just making the seat warm. When you attend to a lecture, you are actively listening, focused, paying attention, directing your mind to what is being said. And when your mind starts to wander, as it will, it happens to all of us, you call back those roving thoughts and you focus on what's being taught. And that's how you learn. When you sit there and you zone out, and you might not think the pastor can figure it out, but I know when you're zoning out. Right? Have you ever been talking to somebody and you see them and their eyes are looking at you, but you can tell there's nothing going on in here? I can tell too. I'm not an idiot, right? So when I see that, I know when you're zoning out. That's when you need to attend. You need to really focus the mind. And I know it's hard, especially on Wednesday nights, right? Because everybody's tired. So I'll give you a little bit of a break there. So we must not only hear the words being said, but we must direct our ears and mind to listen to and consider what is spoken if it's going to benefit us. So you want to listen and then consider it. And the considering usually comes later. Because if you start considering what I'm talking about right now, you're not going to hear what I'm talking about in 3 seconds from now, right? So the considering usually comes after the fact. You hear it and then you kind of hide it away and then you think about it as you have time. That's why it's nice to have the outlines, because you can go back over the outline afterwards and it will bring to mind things that were taught that you probably, you know, you're not going to remember everything, but chances are if you start looking at the points, it'll refresh that memory. And then that helps it to get into long-term memory, because the more times, it's repetition, essentially. You heard it said, then you read the outline again, and then you remember what's said, and that's kind of like really starting to stick in there. So that's a good idea. This is actually the fourth time that Solomon admonished us to attend unto his words, which tells us how important it is. The first time was in Proverbs 4 in verse 1. He says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." And then in verse 20, he said it again. He said, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." And then in 5:1, he said, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding." Now, any of you that have children, or had children, you know, a long time ago, you probably remember saying, "Hey, listen, pay attention to me." You know, right there, looking all around, and hey, listen to me, right? Well, that's what Solomon's saying over and over again. Listen to me, pay attention. Quit, you know, get your attention focused on here. Listen to what I'm telling you. That's why he repeats himself. He exhorts us to listen and pay close attention, because he's going to give us one last warning about the strange woman in the remaining three verses of the chapter. So that's why he tells him one more time. It's like he told him what he was going to tell him. He tells him, and now he's just going to hit it one last time and tell him why this is so crucial to pay attention to what he's saying, because it is literally life and death, the information that he's giving him here. And that takes care of verse 24.
Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.